And you're tuned into
Lush Radio.
And you're tuned into LushRadioOnline.com with your sexy host, Emma E2K, and you're at the Queen's Lounge yet for another Thursday. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate you. I see everybody already on the Facebook. Phone lines is already on deck. You know, tonight we have a heavy topic like we always have. But before I go into the topic, I want to have a couple of announcements. I want to get that out the way, and then we can continue with the topics. So first of all, first and foremost, this show is sponsored by LushRadioOnline.com, E2K Enterprise LLC, The Ad Records, It's a She Thing, Cami Feliciano Productions, and Bodyguard Protective Services, Inc. I also want to give a happy birthday shout-out in light of the day of today. Happy birthday shout-out to my dearest and trusted friend, my queen sis, Molly Torres. She's celebrating a born day today. I will keep you in prayer, sis. I'll definitely keep you in prayer. Shout-out to all my queens worldwide, and shout-out to the world today because the world is in mourning. The world is hurting. And even though it's been 11 years, you know, the world is still feeling it. Also, September 13, which is this Thursday, it's World Day of Prayer. So all those, you know, everybody has pretty much access to the internet. Make sure you Google the World Day of Prayer for September 13. See if everybody around the world decides to, you know, throw out a prayer. Because prayer changes things, as most of us know. I also want to remind you that this Thursday, your queen will be live in effect in New York City. We're having the We the People open mic networking event. So all those that are going to perform, all the artists, please, you need to get there before 10 p.m. to register. No excuses. 11 p.m. sharp, we are starting the open mic, whether you're there or not. Also, it's located at 2700 Jerome Avenue. Follow me on the Facebook, Emma E2K. Follow Lush Radio Online. We have all the information posted. Follow David Aviles on Facebook. You know, we have all that blasted and that information, and you can inbox me. Follow me on the Twitter. Follow me on the Instagram. Everything is Emma E2K. The official sponsors for this open mic and networking event so far are as follows. E2K Enterprise, The Ad Records, LushRadioOnline.com, Who Shot Ya Photography, Wise Guys Recording, Panoramic Media Photography, That Fire Radio Show, Hood Life DVD, Extremities Hour Radio Show, which is on NightlineRadio.com, RiseUpTV.com, QuanLeeTV.com, Crack DVD Latino, That's Gangsta Radio, which is also on NightlineRadio.com, and Grind Season Radio, which is at TheMatrixStudios.com. So those are our sponsors so far, are official. We still have some that haven't confirmed yet and couldn't confirm on that same night. So the media artists, are you listening? The media is going to be in the building. It's going to be crazy. Like, radio is definitely on deck. So if you're an artist, you want to show your talent, you're a singer, you're a comedian, like, this is definitely the place where you want to be. You want to be at the Monte Carlo Room, 2700 Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. Make sure you get there. Like, I'm telling you, everybody's been asking, oh, when we're going to do the open mic, when we're going to do a networking event. We haven't done one in, like, about 4 or 5 years. So this is, like, once-in-a-lifetime type thing. We're not going to continue to do this. So make sure that you come aboard and you take advantage of this. Artists out there, you're always complaining that nobody gives you a shot. Well, here it is. You know, who can do this? Who can bring all these media people under the same roof in one building? So this is definitely brought to you by E2K Enterprise and the Av Records. We've always worked, you know, real big together, and this is what we're doing, man, and it's going to be big, so don't forget, media's definitely going to be on deck. We the People Open Mic Networking Event, 2700 Jerome Avenue, the Bronx. So now, after the announcement, we're going to get to the topic now. The topic for tonight is remembering 9/11 and coping with loss and tragedy. Oh, yeah, it's heavy. Today, I've been receiving, shout out to Tammy Feliciano, who's on deck on Facebook. Today, I received a video that was very disturbing, and it actually is like all the FAA tapes right before the 9/11, and even still now, like 11 years later, it's still kind of like, you know, it baffles me how the world was not prepared at all. Like, they had no clue. Like, we were taking, you know, by total surprise. You know, I think, you know, the United States really, really had that arrogance. I think that's the proper word. I'm going to use it. The arrogance to think that nothing can ever happen to us, or no one, you know, can be able to touch us. And, you know, they proved wrong. And, you know, it's sad that it had to take this tragedy for us to open our eyes, for us to be more on alert and more, you know, paying attention to the world around us, because, I mean, you know, I'm just still baffled by everything. There's so many people, and, of course, I only have an hour show. There's no way that I can possibly name everyone, you know, and give everybody their just due. So I'm just going to do one name that's going to represent everyone else that we lost on 9/11. So in memory of Carmen A. Rivera, you know, my condolences to the family, my condolences to Tito, her husband, even though he's married now, so respect to the queen, to the present queen. You know, we want to give our condolences to the family who's feeling this loss today. And I only say one name to represent all the other people that passed away, friends and family. Again, I would love to mention everyone's name, but unfortunately, time doesn't permit me to do that. So now, let me go on the line. Let me start picking up some calls, because I know the call is going to be heavy today. 516, you're on with MAE2K in the Queen's Lounge?
Yes, I am.
Peace. Who's this, Rod?
Yes, it is. How are you doing, Emma? How are you, sweetie?
I'm great. I'm just, you know, ready to get into it. You already know I don't like to waste time. So, you know, the topic is remembering 9/11, and I know you have a couple things to say about that. And I also, when you chime in on that, I also want you to then let me know how you're dealing with coping, you know, with the loss and tragedy of it all.
Okay. First and foremost, every 9/11, you know, it's a tough day for me. I mean, even the beginning of the week, starting from the beginning of the week, I lost 343 of my brothers that day. I didn't know each and every one of them, but in my firehouse, I lost 5 men, which were very close to me. 2 of them were probies, right out of the academy. Which
can
is
you,
so.
Can you give out the firehouse, and you know, so anybody that's listening?
Absolutely. Shout out to FDNY, Ladder 6, Engine 9, and Chinatown Dragon Fighters. Hoorah. And what else would you like to know? What was that question?
How you're coping with the loss and the tragedy of it all now, you know, 11 years in. You know, some people,
well,
just before you even answer that, some people, you know, are chiming in that it's 11 years, like, enough. You know, in other words, like, we're back, and so we shouldn't, I guess, not talk about it or not feel anything. And I guess, to me, I would think those people are because they didn't lose anyone, you know, directly, to me. Because I doubt anybody that lost anyone directly would say something like that. Oh, I could be wrong. What do you think about that?
Well, that's definitely wrong because I'll be brutally honest with you, and you know me, Emma, I speak straight from the hip. I'm not very enthused, but since I saw this topic on, you know, on your show, I said let me get in there for a little while and just listen to everyone else. But I tell you this much, you know, I still feel the heartache and the pain for all my fallen brothers. You know, I mean, it just wasn't only the five that from my company, but you know, being there, okay, and actually being decorated because I was decorated along with 16 other firemen for evacuating 45 civilians out of the 12th floor. And you know, it's kind of put it to you this way, you know, after a certain amount of years that go by, you know, we get together. You know, it's not like if we, you know, I'm no longer on the job. I work for a private government sector now that works directly with the DOD. You know, I just want to say this, you know, danger is just part of the job. And everyone accepts, you know, we all accept that. And the benefits outweigh the dangers. So I got satisfaction out of the job. I could have died in 9/11, but I did not. I was fortunate enough to not, you know, die at the age of 28. And but that's the risks. And I knew the risks. But, you know, I had a family at the time, and when they couldn't find me for 3 days because of all the commotion going on, meanwhile, I was laying up in St. Vincent's Hospital. It was just something that coping and dealing with the losses, Emma, I believe inside it's something that it's sort of like a mourning process. It takes time, you know. I still to this very day go visit my brothers, and it's more of a camaraderie thing, you know. I don't know if you've ever had, you know, such a strong camaraderie with other people that, you know, hey, this man will take your life, you'll take, you know, he'll die for you, you'll die for him. Okay, and that's the camaraderie we had in FDNY. That's why we are different than NYPD, and we have our rivalry with NYPD. We've had our rivalry with NYPD, but you know, I'm gonna put this out there for the record. You know, during training, all right. Firefighters ourselves, we receive very little training to you know, in order to support and cope emotionally with traumatic stress. So following a distressing incident like 9/11, which was the biggest tragedy in New York City in the fire department, I would say that, you know, a death of a child, a mass fatality, or the departments may implement, you know, a fellow firefighter in the line of duty, some departments may implement a critical incident stress debriefing. It's called the CSISD. So, or offer assistance of department chaplain. However, only a small number of departments offer educational programs on coping with traumatic stress. and grief over firefighters, their families, and department chaplains. Now, I know you have a long show, and I'm going to say this. A lot of, see, I left after 12 years, and, you know, I made lieutenant right after my 10th year, and I left the department right after my 12th year. Now, I was diagnosed with PTSD, which was normal. You know, it's very post-traumatic. But, you know, I'll conclude with this. You know, firefighting is a business. It's like any other business. You know, it was a career for me. The only thing, it was the only thing I knew how to do, you know, and I knew how to move up the ladder very quickly, advancing to different positions, you know. I advanced quickly to lieutenant, you know, but my plans didn't, you know, work out as far as going into captain. But I set my wheels in motion for my future, and I could have stood a firefighter for my whole career. There was nothing wrong with sitting behind a desk, but that's not what I signed up for. You know, I signed up to be in the field and be in the battle, and because that's what we call it. We call it a battle, you know. And as far as 9/11 is concerned, I have nothing but sympathy for the civilians. You know, when I came out of the building, I could not see anything. There was nothing but smoke and rubble and all over the place. You know, I was low on air. I had about 4 broken ribs, a dislocated shoulder, but my adrenaline, I couldn't feel none of that. You know, so I say that to say this. You know, many of our fallen brothers, you know, they did not die in vain. You know, and I put on, you know, my wall on Facebook, you know, not all superheroes need a cape to be a hero, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to say something about that too. Like, you know, I have to play a little devil's advocate with everybody that kind of contacted me today and, you know, saying different things. And being that you're a firefighter, you will be you were a firefighter at that time. You will be the best person to answer, which is what, you know, I mean, and in all rights, I believe that for the firefighters and the NYPD, heroes because they were there, but they were saying, you know, you guys were just doing your job, you know, like you was explaining earlier, and there's not that much spoken about just the common civilian that went in there as well, that was through the debris helping other people and didn't get a check for it, didn't get a pension, didn't get, you know, nothing to compensate. And they went in there to help just their fellow man. What do you have to say about that? Or do you agree on that?
Okay. First and foremost, I applaud the fact that they went in there. But I then again, please, and this goes out to the listeners also, please don't take this in the wrong manner. In the wrong way. They had no business going in there without being properly trained. I understand wholeheartedly that they wanted to help, but what they were doing was making our job even more difficult than it was already. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, it's like, you know, that can almost be a charge, a criminal charge, because, you know, you know, many jobs are considered dangerous and stressful just by their very nature. And I believe that a lot of us have it in us that to naturally, it's sort of like, even before I was in the department, I was in the Marine Corps. And before I entered the Marine Corps, I used to be driving on the highway, and I used to see someone with a flat tire. I always stopped, you know. I always had a problem, you know. My parents, I come from a law enforcement family. I'm the only one that is a smoke eater, was a smoke eater. Smoke eater is a terminology for firefighters. You know, so, or Smokey, as we call him. So, I believe that Emma, you know, that their intentions, mm-hmm. bravo.
Well, you know what, in all fairness to everything, nobody was prepared for something of that multitude. There was nothing, I think, that ever prepared us for anything like that. I was listening to, like, the FAA 9/11, you know, tapes, and everybody didn't know what to do, what to say, where to go, who to speak to. I mean, it was just like a ping-pong.
Actually, you know, I remember...
It was
chaos and mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was both. Because I can recall it as it was just yesterday, literally. I can you know recall it like you know, it's like a tape that you know runs over and over in your head, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and coming from Desert Storm, you know, and then 6 months later, going into Randall's Island and passing the academy with flying colors and so on and so forth, and then being stationed, you know, and, you know, the whole year of being a probie and, you know, getting joked on and so forth. And then when you graduate that year, you know, it's like you always were a part of the family. But, you know, hey, you know, the camaraderie just became stronger, you know.
You know, not to cut you off, because, you know what, my phone lines are crazy, and I want to be able to give other people opportunity to speak as well. Give me your final thoughts and any last things that you want to say out to the world.
Yeah, well, I would like to thank everyone on the social networking website, Facebook and other places, Twitter, so on and so forth, for, you know, all the, just all the thank yous, all the posts, all the pictures, everything like that. You know, we're not heroes. We were just doing our jobs. I would like to, you know, say to the Brave 343, we love you, we'll always remember you, we love you, and, you know, you'll never be forgotten. And we have a saying that, you know, all gave some, but some gave all. And 343, you know, you'll never be forgotten. You know, that's coming right out of me, Lieutenant Roddy Molina. I'm out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in. Stay blessed, man. Just stay blessed. And if you can stay with us, listening to the entirety of the show, or if not, I totally understand. And just stay blessed today, okay?
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. You do the same. I'll stay here.
All right, peace. I believe this is one of my queens, 240. You're on with MA2K in the Queen's Lounge.
Hello?
Peace, queen.
Peace. I'm here. I was just listening to the gentleman speak. You know, definitely, you know, respect to him, you know, for doing his thing. 9/11, man, that, it's like I can remember, like, I can, it's like every time you say 9/11, it's like a flashback to me. Because I'm ex-military, I'm a vet, and 9/11 was serious. Like, it was serious from the Pentagon all the way to the Twin Towers, Ground Zero, you know what I mean? And it was crazy, because it was actually 2011, and I was, like, getting out. I had just got out from all of my training and stuff in the military into my actual unit and stuff. And I know, you know, every soldier goes in there, and they're like, oh, okay, we're not really going to go to war, but you expect it. But it's like when it's a situation when it happens, it's like, yo. So I'm sitting in there, and I just did, like, maybe, like, 2-mile jog or whatever, run, and I'm coming back in the crib, and I look on the TV. I turn the TV on. Mind you, I had family in there, and I had an uncle and stuff that actually worked in the Twin Towers. But, you know, God wasn't, which was, you know, God was definitely showing him a lot of mercy. He didn't work that day.
Wow.
On the plane. He didn't work that day.
Wow.
So,
there's a lot of people that you know, survived that, because imagine if everyone really would have been at work in all those buildings, the numbers would have been double or triple.
Yeah, it was crazy, because a lot of people that should have had work ended up not working that day. And so I came in, I sat here, and team and everybody, my other family, they was in Brooklyn. And I had my uncle, he was in Harlem at the time, so I'm sitting here looking at the TV, and I'm like, holy crap. And I'm like, I'm just in, right? So I'm like, yo, we're going to war. That's all I said, we're going to war. But we're going to war, point blank.
Right.
And then, you know, we go over there, and, you know, they already giving briefings and stuff at the unit. You know, they're mobilizing people, you know, and stuff to get ready to go over there. And before that, of course, that day, like, when it happened, I was kind of in shock. Like, did this really happen? Like, am I dreaming? Like,
yeah,
are you serious?
I think it caught everyone like that, because, and then you see it on TV, it's like, is this a movie? Did I just catch a movie, a new movie, or
seriously,
a show or something? Yeah.
It was crazy. I tried to call. I remember that day, because I was trying to call to see if my family was all right. They had shut all the phone lines was off. Like,
yeah.
Nobody could call out, call in. It was like dead town, like, over there. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
The chaos and everything. And the thing that killed me around 9/11 was the media pissed me off, constantly showing these people jumping from off these buildings over and over again like it was funny to them. Like, you got people's families watching this.
Yeah, but since I'm going to, you know, I'm going to chime in, because, you know, I play devil's advocate to everything. I don't necessarily think the media was doing it because it was funny. Again, this caught everyone. Everyone was kind of,
but did they have to constantly show it over?
I mean, you're right. It wasn't excessive, but, you know, it's like everything. Every news, every tragedy, it's, you know, people not even knowing. They're not even understanding it. I think half the people in the news were talking and still trying to cope with how big and how large this was. Like, this was beyond us. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
You know, and like you said, it was, you know, people thought it was the end of the world. We were going to war. Like, it was just crazy. People were not prepared, like, not even in the slight. None of us was prepared for nothing.
I mean, nobody, but, like, New York City alone, like, that was, like, the congestion that's in New York alone. Like, people, whoever planned that, I'm still not, I'm a soldier whore, a veteran, but, yo, a lot of people died behind that, I mean, besides, you know what I'm saying, the 9/11, going into after the war off of that died for no freaking reason, because, you know, I'm not even going to go into those thoughts about the whole situation, me feeling like it was a whole setup, because
a lot of people died, and I even heard from the people that was in there saying that it felt like the bottom of the building collapsed, like bombs went off. And they ain't seen no remains of the freaking plane. So I'm like, what is going on? You know what I mean? So, I mean, the thing is, like, when government and a lot of stuff get involved with situations, they willing to make sacrifices of people as if we're freaking guinea pigs for them. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
I'm just like, you know, being a soldier, like, that whole situation led us into war, and a lot of people lost their lives, not even just 9/11. After that, it was still an aftermath from off of that one event. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
And then
yeah.
people were like, and people were going after just Muslim people in general that day, and they were targeting all Taliban people. They were saying that everybody was a Taliban with the towel on it. But the thing about it, in the Twin Towers, that was a melting pot of all cultures, races, religions, and everything. There was Muslims, there was blacks, there was whites, there was Chinese, there was Jews, all in there that freaking died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was sad. And the thing about it, when it crashed, you know New York has got mad boroughs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that. They got mad boroughs. But it looked like it's like that earthquake, it shook the whole entire, like New York was shook.
Yeah.
Like I've never, like New York was shook, but
yeah.
I've never seen so much camaraderie that day. It really brought New York together.
Yeah, it definitely did. Sis, let me put you on hold. Let me go into the phone line because you already know we have
a
couple of people on hold. Yeah, just hang on a second. 347, you're on with Emma E2K on the Queen's Lounge. You already know what we're discussing. Peace.
Hello?
347, you're on with Emma E2K.
Hello?
Yes, peace, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Hey, how you doing, Emma? It's me, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show. You know, one thing about 9/11, you know, is how the footage that they got, you know, they recorded this on video and you see it on the media, like, for the past, like, maybe 2 days, you see it, they repeat it over and over. And if you're a New Yorker, like myself, who's born and raised in New York City, you know, I know every year it comes, it's frustrating. You know, it's like replaying that all over in my head again. You know, even though I was home, I was in the Bronx, and I ran outside to the corner of Cypress Avenue 140, and I saw it right past Millbrook, and there it was. The two towers burning, you know, and it was just so crazy, you know. And it's like you said, you know, people actually thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And then the building collapsing, just collapsing, had, you know, people just running out to the corner, you know, bugging out, looking at each other's faces like crazy, you know, it was like sad.
Nobody knew
and
what to do. There was no direction. There was like
there was
nobody,
no direction
there was nobody
at all.
In the news, they wasn't saying nothing to us, like do this, do that, go here, go there. Everything just, it was like a ghost town. You couldn't get on the phone, so everybody's outside, like you said, looking at each other like, what do we do? Like, do we run? Do we go? You know, like, what do
yeah.
we do? Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to do. And again, I keep repeating, it was so bigger than us, and people were not prepared. So, but,
yeah, it,
but,
it
you
was
know,
like
I
one of those
people,
moments.
Yeah, exactly. I see people pointing their finger like, oh, you know, this phone, it's somebody else's phone, it's this agency, whatever. Listen, people, we all were not prepared. This all was beyond us. You know what I mean? Especially if it had to do with government and all that, it definitely was beyond us. You know?
Yeah, and given the fact it was on a perfect day, the sky was blue. It was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful,
real, like,
beautiful
yeah,
day that day.
Was,
yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a beautiful, calm, regular day. Everybody going about their business, and you know, and this tragedy set in like most tragedies do. You know?
You know what stands out in my head when because there's millions of stories, but one
right,
that stands out was the guy from, you know, the local precinct here in the 40th precinct, where he went to give him his retirement papers in. You know, he went downtown to, you know, he putting his retirement paper in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that story, I don't know if you heard about it, but as he's giving in his paper, you know, he's a cop, even though he's retiring that day, you know, he that fateful day, he lost his life. But, you know, it was crazy because after all these years being in the force, and, you know, being a cop, and then you're retiring, then just one day, it just, it took him away just like that. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like he kind of determined, not like he just retired. Like, you know, of course, nobody has that ability to, you know, to give the date of their when they, you know, going to meet the maker. But again, it's all, again, I keep repeating, it's beyond us because
yeah,
we weren't prepared. I mean, I'm going to share my story. I was in the Bronx when that happened. I was on 182nd and Grand Avenue. And I lived on the third floor, like a fifth floor. So that morning, I took my son to school. You know, my normal stuff, my son to school, and I had my godson, Romeo, with me. And his mom was working down there in the restaurant, maybe two blocks away from the buildings, I want to say. She was very close, two. And, I took my son to school. I came back. I remember as I came back upstairs, and my godson was like a year and a half at that time, so I go and I put the cartoons. I sit him down on the bed, and I turn on the cartoons so he can watch the cartoons. And all of a sudden, you know, you just see, like, the plane going into the building. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I take the remote, and I'm like, you know. At the same time, my phone rings in my house. I pick up. And they're like, are you watching the news? A plane hit. I said, wait, what? And I'm clicking, and all the channels are like kind of showing the same thing, the plane crashing. I'm like, what is going? I just dropped it. I grabbed my godson. Thank God the school was across the street. I ran. I ran in that school, like a bunch of mothers there that I seen.
Yeah.
Everybody cleaning the school, getting their kids. I mean, it was mayhem. Again, people thought it was the end of the world. Everybody just grabbing.
Yeah, everybody was evacuating everything.
Yeah.
Schools, everything.
The teachers were screaming, like, cause, you know, like, everybody was just grabbing kids. Like, you don't even know if that's their parent. I'm just like, where's my son? And I remember I didn't know what to do. And then everybody, you know, again, everybody was looking at each other like, what do we do? Like, what's going on? I went back upstairs and I just grabbed them two on the bed and I said, and I started praying. I said, if this is how I'm going to end my life, then, and I held them and I just kept praying and praying and praying because I didn't know what else to do. And then I started just crying because I'm like, and then you hear people outside screaming. People just screaming, banging on doors and, oh my God, it's just, I think about it, just my head stand and it's just.
I was running back and forth. I was running to the corner because we had a nice view of the Twin Towers there. And, you know, you look past Millbrook and you can see over the project, you can see actually the Twin Towers. And when you see them like that burning, and you're like, oh my God, it seems like when you run inside and you're looking at that TV, you thought you was watching a movie. But when you run outside, it's like it was actually happening. It's like,
and then like a month after that, one of my girlfriends worked in the courthouse, right there by the Twin Towers. And a month later, I was working there. And a month later, when I would get out of the train and walk to the courthouse in the Manhattan courthouse, you can literally smell death in the air. It was so eerie.
I went down there after a week.
Oh my God.
After a week, I went down there and we went over and you could smell. It was like a murky smell. Like,
I would wonder, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I even here? And then they were in the courthouse. They would give a lot of security briefings, and then we would have to evacuate the building almost like once a day, and they would tell us how to evacuate and, you know, all that stuff, which I think to me, a little too late, maybe not. I mean, you know, you never know when this may ever happen again, and people do need direction, but, you know, it would have been nice for people to have some type of...
It wasn't nice about that day, but... During the, you know, when the sun was going down, when it was like around, you know, 5-6 o'clock, there was people literally going, walking to the firehouse and lighting candles.
Yeah.
My
block, we ran and bought candles. We bought water and we was out there because, you know, people would have to walk. They shut everything down, the bridges and all that. Two of my brothers were downtown working and they have to, you know, I had two of my brothers I was praying for. My godson's mother that was down there. Like, I had so much people that were down there, and I was just praying, and we had water, and everybody that came walking, because it was hours. I mean, that was just happened in the morning, and people just start showing up 7, 8 o'clock at night. That they started coming into the block that we don't have water, and you know, and that feeling of just everybody together. There was no colors. It wasn't about she's black, Puerto Rican, whatever. It was about you made it.
Right, like
you know, another one, and you know, and ooh, it's just crazy. Like I talk about it, my hands just stand up.
Yeah. And, you know it's just sad. I mean, the view that I saw, and we were just right there in the corner. Because, where I'm from, it's right there, my haven and everything. You can see right over the project, you can see the two buildings. And, you look at that, you said, damn, only stuff happens like that in movies is actually happening in real life. Like, now I try to tell my son about it, but, you know, because he was, like, maybe in the third grade, but he looks at me like, you know, he looks at me like that. He told me this story 1,000 times, and, you know, I tell him to put it on the History Channel so he could see it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really, like, it was an epic day, like.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they changed my life forever, you know. From there, it changed me a lot.
It definitely changed.
Especially as a New Yorker.
Yeah. It definitely changed my feeling about New York. I'm not going to lie. You know, ever since that happened, I really wanted to get out of New York. And I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
I've lived in New York for 40 years.
But
when that happened, I say, you know, I think that this is just a wee bit too much. It's just too much, you know, and the fact that we weren't prepared, you know, I still lost a lot of friends, and you know, and a lot of people that I knew, they weren't friends, but I knew them, and it still was
a thing.
And how do you console somebody? How do you cope with such a tragedy, like, or any tragedy for that matter? Like, you know, after, you know, we have the topic about 9/11, but we're also talking about coping with loss and tragedy. Like, how do you cope? Like, what do you do? It's 11 years. There's a couple of people saying, oh, you know, it's enough. You know, it's already 11 years. That's enough. But how do you say it's enough to pain? Like, if people are still suffering and reliving this, like it's a movie, like people were actually there, you know, like the firefighter that I was speaking to that's still on the line listening, you know, broken ribs and all type of stuff.
How do you
just get up and say, you know what, well, I'm not going to think about this anymore. That's part of your life. Like, this
yeah,
is
yeah, because all, everybody at that point, after that point, everybody becomes a victim. I mean, even pre-9/11, before 9/11, you know, in the inner city, you know, if you had a family member who was killed or gunned down, or you lose family to AIDS or drugs, I mean, you become, you know, a victim. Like, damn, but then when something of this nature happens, it's like everybody becomes a victim. And everybody, you know, some type of pain and suffering. And you have no other choice, but, you know, you could relate, you know, like, I send my prayers, I pray, and I do pray for people who passed away in 9/11, but I also pray for those before, you know, 9/11 that I have lost. And by COVID, I try to do is, like, you know, I try to, you know, read, you know, I give myself, you know, read, try to give as much information as I can, because I'm a New Yorker, you know, all my life, and, you know, in 2005, I have moved to Tampa, Florida, you know, because I was stressed out, you know, I couldn't find a job, there was no jobs, you know, I kind of fucked up, New York was trying to make a comeback, and, you know, it was really, 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 really hard for, like, you know, somebody on the come up, especially in the time of the millennium, you know, it was like 2001, that's where just everything just changed, and you know, I don't know. I still take it day by day. I moved to Florida in 2005 to get away. And, you know, I only stayed in Tampa for maybe like 5 years before I decided to come back when I thought it was just getting better. I came back in 2007.
Did you feel that helped you? Just kind of like stepping away from the direct situation and then coming back to it? You think that helped you?
Yeah, because, you know, I went and I cleared my mind for a little bit, you know. But when I came back, you sort of felt it's okay, the rebuilding process, you know. If you know, you're reading and you try to get information and knowledge of just what happened, like maybe when I left in 05, from 5 years ago in 2001, you know, at that time in 07, everything was about rebuilding. Everything was rebuilding.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I went with that, and I stood in New York, and, you know, ever since then, you know, it seems like, you know, it's getting better.
Right.
You know, but you cope with it day by day. You know, every year we acknowledge it, we don't forget, you know.
Right, and I want to chime in what you said, which is the post 9/11, you know, and being a New Yorker, how we lose people, like, all day, all the time. I mean, you know, not so long ago, a friend of mine asked me, you know, how many funerals have you been to? And we were talking about funeral and people passing. And I said, you know what? I don't know. Like, I can't even give you a number. And then out of curiosity, I took a piece of paper and I just started kind of like just writing, you know, just kind of writing. And I had to stop and I cried because I had such a list. Like, when I started crying.
Yeah.
I was like 47. I said, where am I? And that still wasn't even half of my list. Like, funerals, people that have passed. Again, you know, I did 40 years living, you know, in New York, and I lost a lot of people. Gun violence, you know, especially through gun violence. And, no, I never forget them. You always remember them. But what makes it different, what makes 9/11 different is because we lost so many, you know, at one time.
At one time, and we all became
victims. it doesn't make anyone that we lost prior to 9/11 less important, not at all. But what it is, you have to understand that you have nearly 3,000 people. So 3,000 families of 3,000 people are mourning their loss at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid.
At one time, yeah.
And there's no way that you can cover that with one person that maybe you and I know and maybe 20 other people. And although we talk about them, there's no way to fit those large 9/11 shoes. But it doesn't make them any less important. You know what I'm saying? Not at all. You know, not at all. So I just want to kind of like, because there's a couple of people that are feeling just like you and hit me up about that. And,
Support
is always important, but why do you have to chime in on the 9/11 situation to talk about that? Why don't you talk about that next month or when nothing else is going on? I don't see nobody really kind of doing tributes unless it's like big names. You got Tupac.
Yeah,
you got, you
yeah.
Why don't you do
yeah,
it on
yeah.
your neighborhood? Do a picnic, do a coat drive. That's what I do, you know, to honor people that are missing in my life. I do positive and huge things to give light to that person that passed. Don't start complaining about it.
You know, one thing I was in.
Do something about it. You know what I mean? Do something about it.
There's a lot of things
that people can do. Just stop complaining about what happens with 9/11 is what I'm saying. Like, you know, respect that, and then, you know, everybody else respects, you know, what you got going on. I got my grandmother, my dad, you know, I feel, of course, that's the biggest thing to me, but I'll be wrong to say, well, 9/11 doesn't matter because my dad died. No, my dad is not less important.
Yes.
My dad is less important, and when it's around his anniversary time, then it's about him, but my dad didn't die in 9/11, so I'm going to discuss the people that lost their life and you know, have that tragedy about 9/11. You see what I'm saying? Everybody
has
perspective. Let's respect what's going on. And you know what? Tomorrow, next week, we talk about everything else. You know, do you agree with me or am I alone here?
Yeah, I remember one time in Florida, I was working, and one guy asked me, oh, how you feel? You know, you're coming from New York, how you feel? And I told him, you know, I'm supposed to feel. And, you know, he said, well, you know, you seem kind of like, you know, you was a victim. I'm like, a victim? I was like, I think I was a victim before 9/11. You know, it was just, it's tragic when you see somebody get killed. That one person you know about gets killed. But then in the TV, in front of your face, and on 9/11, that you see 3,000 people get killed. Like, you know, like at one time, like, and, you know, it's just crazy. You know, that's why I keep, you know, I light a candle for all, you know, for everybody who passed away, you know, days like this 9/11 to remember and, you know, and never forget.
Definitely. Thank you, Andrew, for calling in. I'm
going
to read
Emma.
Out. Yes, thank you. Stay listening to the rest of the show. I appreciate you calling. I definitely appreciate your comments. Peace to you and all those, you know, that have passed away on your side of town. Tammy Feliciano, I see you on deck. I know you IM'd me some things you wanted me to share, which for the 9/11. So you said Yeah, there was no air or land traffic, nor underground traffic. The hospitals were bombarded with bodies, where they had to use some as morgues. Okay, so that she wanted to chime in on that. It was crazy. It was just complete mayhem, you know. Again, people, I mean, that's all I can kind of keep repeating. None of us were prepared. Like, if someone would have sat me down and told me, look, this is going to happen on 9/11, which is rumored that the president did get a call and, you know, was told that this was going to happen, you know, but then again, that was the many threats, you know, that United States gets, I guess, on a daily basis. I'm sure they get threatened from everywhere, but, you know, one of the threats. So, to me, it just this whole thing was just bigger than us. Whether it is the government, using us as guinea pigs or not, you know, that determines for everyone to kind of do your own knowledge, rather do your own wisdom. You know, I'm bringing just the knowledge forward, and you guys kind of have to do your own wisdom about it. Everybody has their own feeling. Again, everybody was in a different situation. A lot of people were there. A lot of people were not there. People were impacted in all types of different ways, positive and negative, you know. Some people lost faith in the system, in the government, when that happened. And some kind of, you know, got closer. We had that brotherhood and that sisterhood and just that New Yorker, like New York stand up. New York stood up. You know, New Yorkers are tough. You know, we New Yorkers are tough. And we dealt with it, you know, and we built back up. Yes, we did. Just like everything else, you know, post 9/11, after 9/11, we will continue. This was a tragedy. That's all that can really be said. This was a tragedy. I mean, there's nothing else to be said. I'm going into music and then I'll be back with my final thoughts.
With no goodbye, not a single G'day mate, this is Maddie from Australia and you're tuned in to the Queen's Lounge with the greatest host Emma E2K on LushRadioOnline.com.
Yeah, we're back in the Queen's Lounge, LushRadioOnline.com. You know, we're the people's voice. And so in the Queen's Lounge here, we definitely love to discuss everything that people don't like kind of, you know, talk about. And why not? You know, why not? Why not bring things into light? Why not give some knowledge and some information? Some people may be misled. Or why not come into your own conclusion? Or, you know, or share with us. You're always free to call us at 347-826-7722. And, you know, I never say that I'm right. I just say it's my opinion, you know. Everyone is entitled to it. And I always invite everyone, you know, the line, phone lines is always open. I invite anyone to any topic that I discuss to come in and say, you know, whether against it or not, it doesn't matter. I don't want you to call in and to agree with me because we're not learning anything. I just want you to call in and chime on the topic itself, whether you're pro for it or you're against it, you know, it's still a topic of conversation. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to touch anything. As you guys know, if you follow the Queen's Lounge, we talk about everything up in here. Of course, with full respect because you are in the Queen's Lounge. Before I go to my final thoughts and stuff, I'm going to bring Rod in because he had a couple of things he wanted to finish saying. Rod, you on the air?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to touch on what the last gentleman said about the remembrance of the loss and the tragedy. You know, the devastating attacks of September 11th changed thousands of lives forever, you know, and that will forever be in history. From mothers who lost sons who lost fathers, to wives who lost husbands, the horrific destruction left a hole in the whole country's heart much bigger than ground zero. The pain of loss will never go away. You just learn how to deal with the pain. And, you know, with that said and done, all I have to say is in remembrance to my brothers, for the husband who lost his wife, you know, I love you one last more time, one time before his plane went down in the field. For the wife who stopped in the stairs to call her husband to say, I will love you forever. For the mothers and fathers who kissed their kids goodbye in the morning before they died. For the policemen who rushed in with the firemen to help fight, get out others out of the building. For the soldiers who fought back and lost their lives. Today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, you will always be remembered in our hearts and in our minds. So, you know, with that said, you know, I'm out. I thank you for having the show. And it definitely, you know, it was definitely something that really, you know, I know for a fact that I will never forget. I will always keep this day. And we shall all keep the events and the tears in our minds, our memory, our hearts, and take them with us as we carry on.
Amen.
And that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And God bless you.
God bless you. I accept it.
And, you know, he pretty much closed off. I mean, I don't even want to touch that. I do want to say thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Lush Radio Online, to the Queen's Lounge. You know, again, we touch all the hard topics that really people, not too many people, want to touch and discuss. But we are the people's voice, so we have to speak on it. You know, God bless everyone. You know, through whatever tragedy and whatever you're coping with, just walk in faith. You know, walk in faith, whatever your faith is, whether it be God, Allah, the universe, you know, Buddha, whatever it is, spiritually, whatever it is that you believe in, whatever it is that helps you sleep at night, that lets you relax, that lets you get in touch with the higher power. You know, higher power has many names, but as long as you tap into the higher power and know that this world is not controlled by us, not at all, you know. So enjoy it while you're here, because we have a birth date. We know when we're born, but we never know when we're gone. So with that being said, God bless everyone. Peace, love, and blessings. And tune in next week for another incredible topic. Thank you, guys, and God bless you. God bless everyone. 9/11. Everyone will always be remembered.